Samanta chakkhavalesu atra gacchantu devata sadhammam muni rajasa sunantu sagamokhadam tamma savana kalo ayam badanda tamma savana kalo ayam badanda tamma savana kalo ayam badanda Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Okay, so today, before I continue my yesterday's talk, I'd like to give you some new instruction. And today is Friday. We have been practicing Samatha meditation for almost 6 days, right? Saturday, Sunday, 6 days. So I would like all of you to sift to the mixture, the practice of Vipassana and Samatha both together. Okay? Otherwise, if you only learn Samatha without knowing how to practice insight meditation, I think is a loss for you, especially in this retreat, because I am good in teaching insight meditation, okay? So you learn something good in me, okay? And so before I share how to practice insight meditation, little bit today, and there are some new instruction for you. First, when you come in, entering and leaving the meditation hall, I want you to do it without creating any noise. Then you may say, my goodness, how to do it? Walk slowly. Huh? Walk slowly when you're lifting your foot, aware of the wind element, the movement, slow movement, then no noise will be produced. And also when you enter into bathroom, restroom, don't bang the door. That is too much for a meditator. Having cultivating concentration for 6 days already, still bang the door. That is, to me, it's not, it's too rough. Okay? So push the door mindfully, aware of the movement, pushing, then when the door closed, then lift the hand. Don't push and let go your hand, then the door will bang. All this shows that the mindfulness is not there. Okay, so entering and leaving the room, do it mindfully, slow down as much as you can, and aware of the wind element that push your feet going. This is called doing with mindfulness. Or if you want to do with the breath, then lifting, breathe in, lifting, breathe in. Then 1 foot breathe in, 1 foot breathe out. And do it slowly when entering and leaving the hall. Okay, and go to the restroom. And secondly, during the meditation, because our sitting lasts for 1.5 hours, and in between, I can hear many people changing posture and create a lot of noise. You have practiced concentration for 6 days already, now is the time not to change posture in one stretch, 1.5 hours sitting. Then you may see, oh my goodness, if pain arises, how to do? Okay, now I'm going to teach you how to do, okay? So when you have the desire to change your posture, first, note your mind first. Away of the desire to change. Don't follow your impulsion immediately. You are a meditator. Everything becomes slow. The mind also becomes slowed down. So the very moment the impulsion, the desire arise to change posture, don't change immediately. Then you are following your impulsion all the time. When the impulsion or desire to change posture arise in you, take that desire as the object of your observation. That desire to change is mental state, right? So as a meditator, you must know how to contemplate your mental state. All action follow mind. If you do not know how to contemplate your mind, all your action will follow your mind. Then you behave ordinary, like ordinary person. Right? So that impulsion or desire to arise, okay, take that desire as object. Leave the breath aside. And see that desire mind. Take it as an object, just like you take the breath as object. So take it, then contemplate it, wash it first. Desiring mind as desiring mind, and wash it. I guarantee you, after a few moments, it goes away. So every time when I have to get up, let's say I sit 3 hours, then 2.5 hours, I don't want to sit already. For me, then I not no desire to sit. I wash my mind. Only a few moments, gone. Then can sit again. Okay, so wash. Before you want to change posture, wash your mind first. And see, try to pay attention to its vanishing. That mind is not lasting. But if you cling to that mind as permanent, as last, as myself, of course it lasts. It lasts not because it lasts not its lasting is not its nature. It's because of your clinging. Okay, so you watch it and contemplate it vanishing. Try to see it vanishes. Then when that desire to change posture vanishes, then you don't have to change. Then you may say, but the pain's still there. What to do? When the pain's still there, as I share with you already, try to investigate. Look at the pain and try to see the four elements in the pain. Because pain is physical sensation, all physical is made up by four elements, nothing else. Only four elements. So if you try to see, pick one. Maybe it's a heat or stiffness, which is hardness, or cohesion, which is water element. So you pick one and investigate. You keep on see the one, and the other three will become clearer and clearer to you. And you will see the four elements keep on changing in that spot where you feel pain. Okay, then after that, all four elements, as your concentration goes deeper, and these four elements occur in that spot of pain, finally become particles vibrating there. Particle vibrating there. Then you see arising and passing away of your pain. This one way you can see the pain. Then after that, it go away, then go back to your breath. If nothing, if there's no more prominent object, then you go back to the breath. But if there's something pop up again, clearer than the breath, then try to take that object as an observation, hold your mindfulness there, and incline your mind to see it's vanishing. Mentally, you can note vanishing at the same time, incline your mind to see it's vanishing. Nothing lasts. Okay? You must have that in mind. Nothing lasts. It's just you're clinging to it, make it last longer only. Okay? So for next sitting, don't change posture. You need courageous effort, heroic effort. So for the first day, I never asked you not to change. Now having practiced for 6 days already, I think you have developed enough concentration to be able to note the pain. And also, I want to invite Ben to share with you how to note the pain. He's expert in noting the pain. So please share with your experience, because students sharing sometimes is more inspiring. He is a student. He can do it. I also can do it. she's a teacher. No, I'm not up to her standard yet. So the sharing from student is more inspiring than teacher. Okay?
This may just apply to me, and I'm totally unprepared, so, but... anyways, my experience is that when the pain arises, first it's kind of like one region, like it's kind of like one blob of pain. But if you kind of just try to notice the blob, it's actually very hard to pay attention to. But if you actually look into the pain, like really drill into it, like a nail, with your effort, try to drill into the block. At first, the pain is going to be more severe because you're actually paying more attention to it. But gradually, you actually notice it's actually not a blob anymore. It's actually very, it's like a thread arising and passing away. It's like, you know, sometimes one thread pin here, and then sometimes the next to it, another arises. So if you actually drill into it, it suddenly breaks down into like little thread of pain, maybe more severe. But the severe pain lasts very shortly. It's the moment to moment. So when you drill down into it, it suddenly becomes componentized. Basically, it's you can actually see the little thread. Each thread may be actually very severe, but it actually lasts just one moment and goes away. So you can actually notice one thread arises, goes away, another next to it, maybe another place, a more severe one arises, but it's instantaneous. So after a while, it actually the instantaneous one, because it's so short, that actually the individual one doesn't bother you anymore. So you kind of just takes effort to keep on noting the each individual thread. So if you can pay attention to the individual one, it actually it doesn't bother you. But then if your effort lessens and suddenly becomes a blob anymore, then the pain kind of comes back as a concept. Anyhow, that's just applies to me.
And if you have question, please ask him.
Then sometimes my pain spasms and I feel a shaking. This is a wind element shaking. Does that happen to you or not? And when it does happen, how do you handle it?
Initially, you kind of just have to ignore it a little bit, just kind of, I guess, it's not really bearing, but it's just you have to. Do you see the individual wind come up, or do you see like as a whole kind of?
It's a whole. It's like a blob of wind.
Yeah, I think if you actually look into it closer, you actually see it's actually not one whole. It's probably very fine grained.
And also it does that, but does not last. It comes and goes.
It doesn't last then.
Does not last, but it happens. When it happens, I have to stifle scream.
that's one, because you haven't looked into it.
Yeah.
If you looked into it, you actually see it very quick. Yeah. Like a quick pain is okay. But yeah. Each individual one is very quick.
Okay, thank you.
May not apply to you.
I have my left leg tend to get a cramp when the weather is cold. So it happened a couple of times. I think when that happened, I have to bend the feet a different way to get a
cramp. Let it cramp, no problem. The cramp is also impermanent.
That time I know, but then I have to do something.
No need, it will pass away.
Even that, it was painful, the cramp.
See the pain, see it's arising and passing away. You see, yesterday I sit 4 hours. You think I go into jhana, I look at the pain for 4 hours. After that, no more pain, just sensation. The pain doesn't occur to me as pain anymore. Just a sensation here and there. I can sit throughout the night if it's just a sensation, right? Don't afraid of pain.
the feet was like turned this way. So I always have to make it straight again.
No need. You don't have to do anything. Just observe.
Okay.
Okay. You need courageous effort. Okay. Okay. So try your best. Huh? Within 1.5 hour sitting, don't change your posture. Okay. And if you have worry, you know, oh, my pain, I'm going to injure myself. If such thought arise in you, shift to not your mind. Anxiety mind, anxious mind as anxious mind. Don't look at the pain anymore. See the reaction of your mind. Because it's attached to your body. You're afraid your body is hurt. This is called worry. See that worrying mind. When you see that worrying mind as worrying mind and it vanishes, then the pain will not bother you again. Okay? So this is the second instruction I give to you. And I think that's all. Then I would like to continue my talk from yesterday. And yesterday I mentioned how not to let notion of self occur, how not to cling to the five aggregate so that the notion of self will not occur. And Venerable Sariputta give five contemplations. And yesterday I mentioned the first contemplation is seeing five aggregate as impermanent five aggregate, as impermanent five aggregate. We can choose one and see. Now, for example, you look at a pen and you take it as an aggregate, form. Nah? Then you try to, you can apply like Ben's method or you can investigate into four elements. Then finally you will see that four elements keep on changing and become refined, then become particles, like grain vibrating. Right? Then you see impermanent. At that time, contemplate impermanent form as impermanent form. Impermanent form as impermanent form. Don't say impermanent form as myself. Okay? This words is very important. Correct words, correct contemplation, a wise attention, wise reflection leads you to correct destination. Then, according to Venerable Sariputta's instruction, after that he said, contemplate suffering form as suffering form. However, I would like to rearrange the sequence a little bit. Before you can contemplate impermanent form as impermanent form or impermanent consciousness as impermanent consciousness, I would like you to contemplate conditional form as conditional form first before you go to impermanent. Or you can contemplate, let's say, the worrying mind, not anxiety. The worrying mind arises in you because you're afraid the pain will hurt you, will injure you. So when you contemplate that the worrying mind as worrying mind or impermanent consciousness or as impermanent consciousness, before that, you should contemplate conditional consciousness as conditional consciousness first. Why? For what reason? Because if you do not discern conditionality and you direct go to discern impermanent anicca, suffering, dukkha, and non-self anatta, then you still cannot remove the perception of self. This happened to Venerable Channa. Venerable Channa is a very senior monk during Buddha's time. But he is very conceited, full of pride, domineering, because when Prince Siddhartha renounced the world, he is the only one accompanied him. And he has very close relationship with the Buddha, therefore he feels very proud of himself. And because of his pride, he always uttered harsh speech to the fellow monks. And because of his conceit, he cannot achieve any special Dhamma. He cannot achieve any distinguished Dhamma. So before Buddha passed away, Buddha knows he has to let go his conceit first, otherwise he's not going to progress in his path. Then before Buddha passed away, Buddha said, Buddha tell the Sangha, the community of the Sangha, after I pass into Parinibbana, please give him punishment. The punishment is silent in treatment. All the monks should not talk to him as though he is dead person. No one should talk to Venerable Channa as though he is dead, out of our community of Sangha. So when Buddha passed away into Nibbana, then the Sangha give him this punishment. And this punishment is so severe that he has a sense of urgency. Right? If no Sangha talk to me and treat me as a dead person, then what is the meaning of me being a monk? Right? So he aroused a strong sense of urgency. And at that time, his pride going down. His pride is crushed and he put himself down. Then he think, who should I go and ask instruction for the Dhamma? Before that, he never want to listen to any Dhamma. Never want to learn from any elder monk. But now Buddha passed away already. Then his pride is crushed. Then he start to understand. There's a need for him to receive some instruction from the elder monk. Then he approached an elder monk, and the elder monk taught him to contemplate 5 aggregates as impermanent, 5 aggregates as non-self. And after that, he went back to his cottage and meditated. 5 aggregates are impermanent, are non-self. But suddenly, a doubt arises in him. He thought to himself, I also understand all 5 aggregates are impermanent. All 5 aggregates are non-self. But my mind does not launch out upon stealing of all formation, destruction of craving, cessation, dissipation, and nibbana. And nor does my mind gain confidence, settle down, and resolve on it. So from this sentence, you see, he still cling my mind. He still cling to the consciousness aggregate or the mental aggregate as my mind. Instead, he said, my mind does not launch out upon the stealing of all formations, cessation, destruction of all craving, nibbana. Nor does it settle down and resolve on it. Instead, agitation and clinging arise in me. Agitation of what? Agitation, why the agitation arise in him? Agitation arise in him due to fear. Because when he contemplate all condition, all phenomena, all 5 aggregates are non-self, and all these phenomena appear to him as empty. When all phenomena appear to him as empty, then suddenly, then he thought, I'm going to lose the self. So I'm going to annihilate it. I'm going to lose the self. I'm going to be annihilated. It's called agitation due to fear. So agitation arises in him. Agitation and clinging arise in him. And then he think, such thing will not happen to one who had seen the Dhamma. So he start to have doubt what to do. I do not see the Dhamma yet. Otherwise, how can I have the thought or not. Then when the agitation and the clinging arise in him, then he think, who am I? He start to think, who am I? Who am I? Because the all phenomena appear to him as empty. And together with the annihilation view, that he think he will be annihilated. And if he's, then the doubt arises in him, who am I? Then gradually, then he understands such thing will not happen in one who has seen the Dharma. Surely I have not yet seen the Dharma. Then who can help me? He asks, who can help me? Then he thinks of Venerable Ananda. Venerable Ananda, who followed Buddha for so many years, he know all the Dharma taught by the Buddha. So he approached Venerable Ananda. And Venerable Ananda is very happy when he saw him approach him. You know, this monk has put himself down already, otherwise he will not approach me. Right? Since he put himself down, his conceit is no more there, I'm happy to share the Dharma with him. Okay. Therefore, Buddha preached, Ananda preached him Kacchana Gota Sutta from Nidana Sanyutta Sutta 15, which I have shared with you before. Buddha said, the world, for the most part, depends on duality. The notion of existence and the notion of non-existence. So because why Ananda chose this sutta? Because Venerable Channa suddenly has the annihilation view. He thought he's going to annihilate it. So, and this sutta talk about eternalism view, the notion of existence and notion of non-existence, and finally Buddha said, put aside both extremes. Put aside both extremes and contemplate dependent origination. With the arising of ignorance, formation arise. With the arising of formation, consciousness arise. With the arising of consciousness, nama rupa. Nama rupa means five aggregate. And so on. So when Venerable Channa listened to this discourse, then he removed all his doubt. Then he became arahant. So the commentary said that why the doubt arise in Channa when he contemplate impermanent and non-self. Why he still have the doubt, who am I? Because Channa did not discern conditionality first before he discerned impermanent and non-self. Okay, this is the reason mentioned my commentary, but I think I have my personal opinion. I think Venerable Channa did not try resolution of five aggregate. He still see he as a permanent self. He did not try resolution of five aggregate. He did not break down this self into five aggregate. And among this five aggregate, the first one is a form aggregate. So he did not try resolution into form aggregate into four elements. That's why he may see form as myself, because he did not break down the form aggregate into four elements and see these four elements are also produced by conditionality, produced by karma, produced by our mind. Our mind can create four elements, right? When you get angry, the fire element become hot, right? So the mind can change the four elements and produced by nutriment. The food we eat also change. For example, if you take very cold food inside and stomach immediately feel cold. So the element in the body change. And also the temperature, The weather also change, produce the four elements in the body. So I think Channa did not try break down the form aggregate into four elements and try to see the conditionality of the arising and the cessation of four elements. And also the other four mental aggregates, especially consciousness aggregate. And when we practice samatha, the mind is concentrated on a breath object. And it may appear to you the mind is one, like one unit, one permanent thing, concentrate on the breath. Now, for samatha, it's fine, because for samatha, we are not going to investigate. We are not going to break down the compactness of continuity of consciousness. But when we practice vipassana, we have to break down the compactness of continuity of consciousness. For example, one object you concentrate, then you should go back to the mind object. Let's say one object, give example, feeling. When you contemplate on feeling, who is contemplating feeling? Consciousness, yes. Consciousness or observing mind. The mind is contemplate on feeling. And you see feeling arising and passing away, right? And you know they are impermanent. But you still think that observing mind is permanent, right? You still think that observing mind is permanent. So in order to break down or to know that observing mind is also impermanent, you go back to that observing mind and try to see is when feeling arises, the mind, the consciousness also arises together. And the feeling passes away, that mind also passes away with that consciousness. Then another consciousness, another feeling arises, and that new mind, new consciousness arises together with that feeling. When it passes, when the feeling passes away, you also try to go back to that mind and see that mind, that observing mind at that moment also passes away together with feeling. Only then you will see the momentary arising and passing away of your consciousness. I think Channa did not see. Channa did not see that arising and passing away of that consciousness moment by moment. Therefore, he still hold the perception of permanent self, that self, watching the phenomena. And I think to see the momentary arising and passing away of that observing mind, I'm happy that Maureen has achieved this. So now I also want to invite Maureen to share with you her experience.
So I had reported to Sally that there were a lot of thoughts. I was having trouble being on the breath, so I started to watch the space between the thoughts. So then once I could see the space between the thoughts, I could actually see the thoughts arising, passing away, because when I saw the space, I could see something arise, and then I see it pass away. So pretty soon I could see the arising and passing away of the thoughts. So Sele told me, at that point she said, now look at the mind that's watched, the observing mind also arising and passing away, try to see that. So the next sitting I saw again, I was seeing the arising and passing away of, it wasn't just thoughts, it was any object. Sometimes it would be a sensation. It didn't matter, any object that came to the mind. So I saw the object arise, and then I looked immediately at the mind that was watching the object arise. And for me, my mindfulness often feels like it's right here in front of my face. So I have the mind there. When I saw the object arise and pass away, I also saw that mind that observed the object was also gone. And the mindfulness, the mind stayed here and could almost see that, like that I call like a package of that that combination of mind and object was past. And then the mindfulness was still there, which was now the current consciousness, the current mind. and it took another object immediately. Sometimes it would be the same object, you know, it'd be, if it was, let's say, a sensation, it would take that same sensation again and then pass away. And I could see it, like, again, kind of, it was almost like it moved away from this, where the mindfulness was. I could see it as a past object and past mind. And then that kept happening. But at the time that it was happening, I could see the mind watching the rising and passing away of each mind and object, and then see that mind pass. And at a certain point, I saw that as that mind took that object, it also identified with that object. Like, let's say it was like a sensation or pain. So it was my pain. I could see the mind took that sensation as mine. So when I saw it pass away, I saw that sense of self, that sense of identity with that object also pass away. So it was like I was seeing the mind that took the object and identified with the object as a self also pass away. So it was like this whole process. After a while, I realized each new moment had a new self, sense of self, based on whatever the object was and how that self was creating itself by the based on the object, how it felt about the object. So I saw this sense of self like arising and passing away, because it wasn't, it was always based on whatever that object was at the moment.
So that was it. That sense of self is you identify it. It's not there. It's your, you identify, you create that speculative view. Okay? It's just arising, a passing way of phenomena. I mean, it just, but we tend to identify that as self. So what actually arising and passing away is the, when we talk about phenomena or formation, it's all included in the five aggregate, right? So what actually arising and passing away, including the object you observe and the mind who is, which is observing, both are aggregate. And aggregate, these five aggregates are suffering, right? So what actually arising and passing away is the suffering. Whatever arises is the arising of suffering. Whatever ceases is the cessation of suffering. But Channa did not see like that. Channa see arising is the self, as you say, identify it as self. And cessation is also self. Therefore he has annihilation view. What sees is self, then I will be annihilated. He did not see whatever arises is aggregate, and this aggregate is a heap of suffering. So whatever arises is arising of suffering, whatever ceases is cessation of suffering. And this is right view. Okay, when you have achieved this right view, then your knowledge is independent on others. And no more depend on me, no more depend on Buddha, no more depend on your teacher. Your knowledge is independent on others. When you see whatever arises is arising suffering, whatever ceases is the cessation of suffering. Same like when you watch your pain bend. See, what is arising is suffering, cessation is also suffering. So what you see is only arising and cessation of suffering. This is right view. Then you no more see the self. The self never exists, as I said before. The self is just a speculative view. It's just a view only. Okay? So finally, when Ananda teach him this Kacayana Goda Sutta, then Venerable Channa eliminate his self, his view of self, and attain arahantship. Okay? So come back to the five contemplation taught by Venerable Sariputta. I would like you to contemplate and start with conditioner among these five aggregate. Depend on what object you observe. If you observe the four element, then you see conditioner elements, conditioner form as conditioner form. Okay. If you observe feelings, then you contemplate conditioner feeling as conditioner feeling. If you contemplate mind, different mental states, different mental state, whatever occurred, worrying, anxiety, desire, want to move, and so on, desire, want to get up, whatever state you contemplate, try to see it as conditional consciousness, as conditional consciousness. And when you contemplate conditional aggregate, as conditional aggregate, once a while, you try to investigate the condition for the arising of the present phenomena. Not only mentally, not mechanically, conditional form as conditional form, no. When you contemplate, or when you pay wise attention to comprehend conditional form as conditional form, once a while, not all the time, once a while, you also investigate why this form aggregate arise, why it keeps on arising, what are the causes, what are the conditions for its arising. You got to contemplate, otherwise you cannot remove the perception, the perception of permanent self. You will remain identifying that arising phenomena as self without discerning conditionality. Okay? So, among whatever object you contemplate, try first contemplation, conditional phenomena as conditional phenomena. And if you satisfy enough, and if at that time your mind just stay with that without much attachment to it. Just when I look at my pain, you know, the mind is very detached to it. And if you add the contemplation, conditional form or conditional pain as conditional pain, the mind become even more detached. Since it's conditional, it's not yours. Then the mind become even more detached to it. And you can sit there for very long without being affected by what's happening in the body, because all these are conditional. So the words, using the right words, is very important to keep your mind steady, without doubt, without perplexity. Okay? So after that, the second contemplation, you can contemplate impermanent form as impermanent form, as taught by Venerable Sariputta. Or whatever mental state that arises in you, you try to see it like worry, you know, contemplate impermanent mind state, impermanent mental state as impermanent mental state. Please bear in mind, don't do this contemplation as like reciting, impermanent, no. When this word, you use the word to direct your mind to see it's vanishing. But your focus is not on that reciting. You just use that word. Words is very helpful. We start learning everything from words, right? So the words, when you say the impermanent, then using that, the words of impermanent, that correct perception of impermanent, to direct your mind to see that phenomena perishing. That's what I mean. So don't recite it mechanically, impermanent. No, this is not what I mean. Okay? And you have the confidence, sabbe sankhara anicca, all formations are impermanent. So since you have that confidence already, then use wise attention to direct your mind to see it's vanishing. If you don't direct your mind to see it's vanishing, the phenomena is covered or concealed by compactness of continuity. The phenomena appear as continuous. It's continuous, therefore it's permanent. But if you contemplate impermanent, that compactness of continuity is broken, become disconnected. Like you see the space in between two. Therefore, the continuity is broken down. The compactness of continuity is broken down. Only then you see arising, vanishing. If you never pay attention to see it's vanishing, then the impermanent nature will not become clear to you. It's not manifesting. It's not manifesting because you do not pay correct attention. You do not pay wise attention to it. Then it's concealed. The nature of impermanent is concealed. Unless your attention is right and then tune to it, harmonize with it, then it becomes clear to you. Okay? Is it clear? Jonathan, are you sleepy? No?
I'm not sleepy at all.
Okay.
I'm good. A little worry mind.
What are you worrying?
Not me, just worrying mind.
Okay, good. Very good. Okay, worrying mind. Okay, so this is the second contemplation. First, contemplate conditional phenomena. Among these five, after I finish, no matter how I got to finish today, tomorrow I'm going to teach you how to contemplate the mind. Because if you do not know how to contemplate the mind, I think it's a great loss for you. So tomorrow I want to start teaching how to contemplate your mind. But so today I have to finish this talk. And so after you contemplate conditional phenomena as conditional phenomena, second, contemplate impermanent. Not reciting, try to direct your mind to see its impermanency. And when you try to see the phenomena, what you observe, whether it's form, four elements, pain, or whether it's feelings, pain you can call it as unpleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling, or whether you contemplate different mental state, when you contemplate it as impermanent phenomena, as impermanent phenomena, if possible, go back to the observing mind, as Maureen shared just now. Go back to the observing mind. When that object you observe pass away, let's say you watch the pain, that pain pass away, try go back to the mind and see that mind while watching the pain, that mind perish together with the pain. Ben, try this one more. Okay? So see both perishing. Then you will not cling to the mind as permanent self. Otherwise you will like channa, still have that doubt, then who am I? Okay? Try to see that observing mind perish together with the object you observe. If you cannot see, then use inferent knowledge. Let's say you are observing the feeling, unpleasant feeling, pain, let's say pain. That pain gone already. Then you check the mind, you check just now the mind which is observed the pain still there or not. If you cannot see, it vanishes together because it's very difficult. Then when the pain passes away, because when the pain arises, the mind knows, right? So when the pain passes away, that knowing mind of that pain, you check, is it still there or not? You will know. Immediately, the knowledge will come to you. It has gone. You can use this type of inferent knowledge to gradually get the your knowledge becomes sharper and sharper, then you will see both perishes together. Before you can see both perish together, you see this inferent knowledge. Okay? Then now then a new pain comes. Then you will know, now a new mind, new mental state observing another pain. And this new mental state is not the previous one which observed the previous pain. So through reasoning, you also understand, right? But if you without doing like that, you will think the same mind watching the pain. Okay? This is called resolution into momentary arising and passing away of the observing mind. Okay? So you note both. Phenomena, what the phenomena you observe is also impermanent. The observing mind is also impermanent. Both. To completely help you to get rid of identity self, letting go of identity view. Okay? And this is the second. The third one, contemplate suffering form as suffering form. So when you experience lots of unpleasant feeling in the body, you can contemplate suffering form as suffering form. When you contemplate suffering form as suffering form, you will not cling to that form. Your clinging to that form will become less. Clinging arises because you think the form gives you happiness. The form gives you satisfaction. You think the form is permanent, so you cling to it. Now, if you continuously contemplate suffering form as suffering form, then this contemplation will help you to let go of that attachment, or to let go of that misunderstanding, misperception of form, thinking form is happiness. Okay? Then the fourth one is contemplate selfless form as selfless form, or selfless consciousness as selfless consciousness, or selfless feeling as selfless feeling. So when you wash your pain, then you can contemplate selfless pain as selfless pain. Otherwise, you will cling to the pain as myself. So you see whatever sensation that arise in your body as selfless, then your mind become unmoved, unaffected. You let the selfless phenomena happen in your body. You just observe. Once in a while, go back to your mind. That mind also perish together with that observation. Okay? And last one, Venerable Sariputta say, see this five aggregate as murderer form. As I say yesterday, this form, five aggregates, are like murderer. Even though you do not regard it, wasn't it still murderer? Even though you do not realize it, it's still a murderer, right? The five aggregates still a murderer, even though you do not realize it. So in order to let you realize it, you contemplate, the pain arises, oh, murderer killing me. Murderer pain as murderer pain. Murderer form as murderer form. Keep on contemplating. Consciousness arises, murderer consciousness. Because consciousness keep on arising, passing away, it's also very tired. The thing keep on arising again, perishing, arising again, endlessly. I feel very tired. So every time when I see my consciousness, I feel very tired. I want everything come to stop. Cessation. Cessation is bliss, right? So try to see every arising is suffering. Not to see every arising is happiness. Try to see every arising is suffering and completely stop is a peace. Just like when you work very tired. The whole day, whole night, you work very tired. And at night, you lie on the bed, fall into sleep. Isn't that sleep? It's bliss, peace, happiness. It's the same thing. Just for you to imagine. That sleep, without knowing anything, is peace, is happiness. So, same thing. The phenomena keep on arising in the mind and body appear to me very, very tired. Okay? So try to see all this arising is like murderer killing you. Murderer form, murderer feeling, murderer formations, murderer consciousness. Try to see it in that way. So these are the five contemplation taught by the Venerable Sariputta in Yamaka Sutta. And he said, if you can contemplate in this way, then you no more engage with five aggregate. No more cling to five aggregate. No more take a stand upon five aggregate as myself. Without engagement, without clinging, without taking a stand upon five aggregate as myself, this will lead you to long, long lasting happiness. Okay? So, you can choose. You say this five too much. Choose one. What is most appropriate to you? most suitable at that moment. Choose one and contemplate it. So from today onward, we are going to switch to vipassana, mix together. However, the moment you sit, I want you to start with anapanasati. Let's say for half an hour. Then after half an hour, some phenomena that arise that disturb your mind. Whether it's pain, where thoughts, the thoughts arise. Then try to see the arising and passing away of the thought. At the same time, see the mind, which also sees together with that thought. Okay? Then after that, no more, no strong phenomena that can anchor your mind. Then you go back to the breath. And after some time, another phenomena, doubt, arise. Then shift your mind to contemplate the doubt. Doubting mind as doubting mind. Doubting mind as impermanent. Impermanent, or conditional doubting mind. Conditional mind as conditional mind. Okay? And see it pass away, or see it as a conditional, not yourself, enough. Go back to the breath again. So when there's no strong phenomena that occur in you, always fall back to the breath. When there's something, strong phenomena, clear phenomena that disturb your concentration, put aside your concentration. Go to it. Then you will see more and more impermanent. You will see more and more suffering, and you will see more and more selfless nature of all phenomena. Then you will achieve both, right? Our retreat is... What is the title of the retreat?
Two vehicles
to liberation. So we are not focused on samatha alone. Please remember this one. And if you want to learn from me, learn how to contemplate the mind. Yeah? This is my specialties. Shy to say. Okay. So any question? Today seems very quiet. Okay, any question?
I have the image of, it's very helpful, both. I have the image of melting ice. Mm. I try to see the aggregates as like five fingers of ice that arise and melt together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's correct, to see them as just melting.
Yes, whatever you see, according to what you're seeing, according to what you see is correct.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they are not lasting, not permanent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've just been trained that you need a special jhana in order to see this and to understand this, but that's not
necessary. But with jhana, you may see more clearly.
Yeah.
Without jhana also, you can see.
Very good.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Any question?
No, just last night you told me don't worry, so I told myself don't worry. So I just sit through didn't feel that long, 40 minutes finished.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel much pain. You're thinking you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if I ask you don't worry, also don't tell yourself don't worry. Take it as an object of observation. When that mind arises, look at it as a mental state, okay?
It's beginning, I said, don't worry, just relax.
Mm.
So that was fun.
But also take it as the object of your observation. Okay. Everything that happened can become the object of your observation.
A little discomfort in the back, so I said, well, that's not mine.
Mm. Yes. Let it be. Okay. Mm.
We're so conditioned to get away from it. To get away from it.
So we undo the condition. Undo it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any question?
So when we're focused on the condition, are we to see what has given rise to that?
Mm. Once a while.
Or are we seeing what has given rise to the mind, to the consciousness?
Mm.
So is that consciousness is dependent on or arises with the object, and what we're observing is that the consciousness is dependent upon that object. Is that the condition part?
This is also one of the conditions, yes.
That's one of the conditions.
Yes,
now,
yes.
Are we also looking for, if there's an object, are we looking for the condition that gave rise to that object?
Yes.
Yes.
That could be four
elements, or you could take another approach.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So when we observe the object for a while first, Then next moment, if you contemplate conditioned Dhamma as conditioned Dhamma, then you try to condition for what condition that caused that object to arise. Yes. For example, consciousness. Why consciousness arise? When you discern the conditionality of your consciousness, then you know, because, let's say anapanasati, because of the breath. Breath is the object. Because of the arising of the breath, consciousness arise. This is also one of the conditions. This is called proximate cause. And they are root causes. Proximate cause is because of the object and the basis, physical basis, that the air touches. So the consciousness arises to know the object. This is one condition called proximate causes. They are root causes like ignorance, like the craving. We have said before the fabricate consciousness, right? So previously we have that fabrication. We want to see, we want to feel something, we want to know, we want to cognize something. So previously we have that desire already. That desire fabricate the consciousness aggregate. So now the consciousness can know, can cognize, right? That's called root cause. So you also can discern the root cause and the proximate cause. And then you understand consciousness is conditional, a reason state, not myself, not permanent self. Too complicated?
Yes.
Yes or no? Too complicated?
Yes.
No, why complicated? Only two things.
I will add anxiety about not being able to find the cause.
So I tell you the cause
so
now already.
So now I shift my object to the anxiety that arises. Is that?
Yes. If you know, if you try to find a cause, cannot find a cause, the anxiety arises. Yes. You try to see anxiety mind as anxiety mind, then that go off. It go back to the breath. Don't think of anything.
Okay.
That become more simple. Okay, any other questions?
So you said, take it, don't worry as an object. Mm. So I did, I don't know if I did it right.
Mm.
So I thought about what I'm worrying about. So basically, we just worry about the pain become unbearable.
Mm.
So I was thinking that I really shouldn't worry about pain.
Mm.
And I think that's what.
This way of, also, if it can help you to resolve, to overcome your worry is fine. But sometimes other worry arise, you know. Then you can take it as object. Don't identify that worry as myself. I am worrying. Don't identify with that. When you take it as object of observation and see as a conditional state, then the self, you will drop the identification of self with self. Okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little confused, finding the cause kind of thing.
Mm.
For a simple example is like when you breathe, there's a consciousness knowing mind to go with the breath, knowing.
Mm.
So those are simple, I can kind of identify.
Mm.
But then if you apply which is cause kind of thing, it's already you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you want to, how can I go root cause kind of things? That's my other knowledge has to come in.
Mm. Okay, the root cause are very easy. According to dependent origination, the root cause are only two. Ignorance and craving. These are always the root cause. You don't have to analyze.
But that's just knowledge, but I'm not really seeing it.
Never mind. Even though that knowledge is enough for you to understand. It's conditionality. For you to understand, it's just a conditionality. You don't have to direct see it.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Therefore, to practice the meditation, it's necessary or useful to have some Dhamma knowledge.
Mm.
Otherwise, you just don't know how to contemplate correctly. Right? You just know the root cause are the ignorance and craving. Craving, as I say, because fabrication, you know, you fabricate the new five aggregate, you desire to have new five aggregate again and again. Therefore, all these five aggregate are the effect of our craving previously. That knowledge is enough for you. Okay? Okay, I think enough for today. Thank you so much. Sadhu. 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 Sadhu.